First half of the show, we got Rotten Tomatoes, and we'll do that right after this.
I just casually looked towards the canal, and I saw what I thought was a mannequin.
August 2nd, 1998, the body of a brilliant young scientist is found dead near the campus of Georgetown University. It was a gruesome scene.
Walking up to the body, it became apparent that there had been a sexual assault.
For more than 6 years, D.C. police had no leads and no suspects. Then, another disturbing discovery. She wasn't his only victim.
As these cases went on, the more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
One man committing a series of heinous crimes against women, but then he just stops. 10 years go by, then 20. What would it take to finally crack the case wide open? I'm Paul Wagner. Join me for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series, available October 4th on all podcast platforms.
Back inside the toolbox on another mournful Monday, if for no other reason than it's Monday, and the weekend seems so far away. It's day one of five to jump and jive, take the dive, and stay alive till the weekend arrive. Yeah, let's keep it present tense, but not so tense. It takes blood and sweat and tears, because it ain't the weeks, it's the years. Let's take a cut from arguably one of the most brilliant debut records of all time, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. God bless the toolbox.
And that's got shall get. Them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have. Papa may have. God bless the child that's got his own. That's got his own.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Bill O'Reilly, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, as a child, he was never groomed in every sense of the word. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice of gun. A mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah, Riley's going to tell us about Lennon and Elvis and Muhammad Ali.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Interesting stuff. I was listening and being interviewed. I didn't know none of the Beatles showed up at Lennon's funeral.
What?
I didn't know that either.
I did not know that. I mean, we can check it, but I think it's in the book, so we can talk to him about that.
I find that odd. Paul and him had reconciled recently. There was a great... Before his death. One of the great all-time could have been, should have been, almost was moments in TV/pop culture history was when in the early days of SNL, you guys may be aware of this, in the early days of SNL, young Lorne Michaels, and maybe we can find the clip, he went on, I think Weekend Update or whatever it was, young Lorne Michaels is like, here's a check for $5,000 made out to the Beatles if you guys will come on here and reunite. And it was a joke because what do they need $5,000 for? He's like, if you want to give Ringo less, that's up to you. John and Paul were hanging out in New York watching that, and they were like, we should just go down there. And they didn't. They kind of chickened out. But what a moment that would have been. That would have been the greatest moment in TV history.
What year do you think that was?
70. He died in 80, so it would have been 78-ish. Right. Well, and Lorne Michaels left the show in 1980, so it would have been late 70s.
You guys aren't old enough, but I definitely remember where I was. I mean, I remember being in high school.
Brian was in a ball sack.
I was a year and a half old.
Walking to gym class when I heard about it in 1980. I remember hearing it was definitely during school time, and I was definitely on campus when I heard about it. All right, so we'll get into all that, some interesting stuff with Ali and Elvis, and now we're all Elvis experts because we saw the movie.
That's true.
There's much more to learn. somebody tweeted me an article on Harry Hay.
Oh.
The pioneering gay man.
Hey.
From my grandmother's youth. The book is should arrive here any day now. And I remembered, and it was kind of, it's interesting because my grandmother was a communist.
Like card-carrying member? Or is that too much effort to get a card?
I don't know. But first things first, it's kind of like the modern women's movement. Like if you're
I'm really, a card-carrying member.
If you're really into women's rights, you should really fucking hate the Middle East. Mm. You should hate the Middle East. Indeed. But instead, many in that group have focused their ire on Israel, and they've kind of left the rest of the Middle East out of the mix. And it's insanely misguided.
It's curious.
And it's curious. It's weird. It's like, is this what are you for what you're for? If the group that has turned the hardest on the new prime minister of Italy are progressive women calling her fascist. So if you're for women,
I mean, she can be both,
and powerful women, then you should be applauding this thing, not attacking this thing. So now I'm confused. And
she's the female face of male supremacy.
Yes. Who is really into communism? You know what I mean? I mean, especially a gay man. You'd stand a much better chance of being a gay man in the United States than you would be in a communist under a communist regime. So what is it?
Which lane?
All right, but I have the answer.
Oh.
There's one through line. You all hate your dads. Mm. Not you, Gina. But what I mean is my grandmother hated her dad. Right. I'm sure Harry Hay hated it. They hate their dad. They're not for communism.
They're not a communist, by the way.
They hate their dads, and they're pushing against the man, essentially. But that's an internal, personal thing that they've externalized because – wherever you are in history, is there any reason to embrace that? And the embracing of that back then was much less of, I would like to live in a communist regime, and more of a fuck you to whatever the establishment.
Every authority figure is proxy for your dad.
Yeah, it's like Ed Asner. Did he think the Twin Towers were taken down and there wasn't a Jew in the building or whatever? Or does he just hate the country? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So be careful when people go, here's what I'm for. Most of here's what I'm for is here's what I'm against. Mm. I hate my dad. Mm. All right. So anyway, we have this article. It's interesting.
Bullied in school, Harry Hay went on to start one of the first gay rights groups in America. Quote, "We pulled ugly green frog skin of heterosexual conformity over us, and that's how we got through school with a full set of teeth," said Harry Hay, who is often called the father of gay liberation. As a young person, Hay was frequently bullied, and knowing how to pass his straight was essential. "We know how to live through their eyes," he said.
By the way, passing for straight in the 40s just meant don't get caught with a cock in your mouth. Like, I just walk around.
Look at the mincing to a door.
Yeah, well, you just walk around, show up at school. Right. Well, you won't be on anyone's no-fly list.
Lots of kids don't play football.
Yeah. That's right. Sorry.
"We can always play their games, but are we denying ourselves by doing this? If you're going to carry the skin of conformity over you, you're going to suppress the beautiful prince or princess within you." Born in Sussex, England in 1912, Hay grew up in Los Angeles. In school, he routinely faced pressure to be more like the other kids. While Hay knew assimilation could be an important survival strategy, he also soon discovered that conforming can be a soul-draining proposition. Instead, he devoted his life to bravely, brazenly being himself, and in the process inspired legions of others to do the same. During high school in L.A., Hay's deep interest in academics, art, and performance was enlivened by a growing commitment to social justice. While working his teenage summers as a ranch hand on a relative's Nevada cattle farm, Hay met some Wobblies.
What?
Members of the labor organization International Workers of the World, and was introduced to Marxism. That worldview immediately made sense to Hay. It was an encounter that would change his life, inspiring decades of dedication to leftist politics and organizing. For a time, Hay attended Stanford, where he studied international relations, wrote poetry, and pursued acting. Starting in 1933, he began attending Communist Party meetings. By then, he moved back to Los Angeles, where he found work as an actor and screenwriter, and fell in with a group of leftist actors and creatives. It was in that group that he met Will Geer, with whom he had a romantic relationship.
Wow.
Hey, yeah, what is... obviously he's an actor, but I'm trying to think of what his... most known for.
Couldn't tell you. Off the top of my head.
You know the name, though, right? Yeah.
Will Geer?
Yeah.
I just think of the Will Geer Theater in Topanga Canyon. Of course, you're familiar.
Performed there many times.
What was his iconic role?
We have to look it up. It doesn't come to mind.
The Waltons.
Oh, the Waltons. He was Grandpa Walton? Yeah.
Yeah, Grandpa Zebulon Walton.
That dude was gay?
As the day is long.
Oh, my God. I got to take a shower.
Hey, join the Communist Party in 1934.
Grandpa Walton's gay. Oh.
This is how his kids find out?
The urging of fellow Communist Party members and his psychoanalyst. Hay married a woman and fellow activist, Anna Platke, in 1938, and the couple went on to adopt.
But why marry a woman if you're... a staunch supporter of living your truth.
Yeah, if you're out, which it sounds like he was.
He's an out communist, not an out homosexual.
Yeah, there was pressure, but you could also just kind of go the Liberace route.
Confirmed bachelor.
Yeah, hey, ladies, he's a confirmed bachelor. All right, sorry.
Hay enjoyed his wife's companionship and loved his children. They have adopted two daughters, but he wasn't being his true self. Eventually, he and his wife divorced. Harry Hay is also among the first gay rights activists to argue that homosexuals were a cultural minority, not just individuals. A 1960 publication of the Mattachine Society emphasizing homosexual civil rights. Once he had dropped the mask of heterosexual marriage, Hay embarked on perhaps the most significant chapter of his life as an activist and as a person. A good 20 years before gay rights were a visible issue on the national scene, Hay started the Mattachine Society, an underground gay fellowship. It reportedly took 2 years for him to find a single other man willing to join the group.
Wow, boy. Lonely meetings.
Yeah.
Aligning oneself with homosexuality could mean social death and even jail time. When an interviewer later asked whether gay men saw themselves as second-class citizens, Hay answered, "I don't think they even thought in those terms. We thought of ourselves as being illegal. The idea of self-respect didn't exist." The Mattachine Society, which worked to advance the civil rights of gay men, mostly operated clandestinely, as many members were security risks and likely already had FBI files, particularly as McCarthyism gained ground.
I wonder where my grandmother came into the picture. I mean, she was...
Was she at a meeting?
Well,
I mean, not a gay men's meeting, but
definitely communist and definitely in Los Angeles her whole life, and definitely kind of down with actors and poets and artists.
She was a dancer.
Oh,
she was a dancer.
Yeah.
You're fortunate. I mean, you're unfortunate. Your grandfather, Laszlo, is fortunate that he was able to write and work for as long as he was, like with a pretty openly communist wife and being a writer himself.
She was lucky to get a job at the VA in Westwood.
That is bizarre.
She
defied the odds.
I think she cooled her jets by the time she got to Laszlo.
Yeah.
I think this is more 30s, 40s, and he came around. I guess he came around in the later 40s. Maybe she'd burnt her card, her communist card or something. Mm. I don't know.
Hay recalled that in the early days, group of members met 5 to 6 days a week after work until 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's a lot of sex.
Though hugely important as one of the very first groups of its kind in the country, the society eventually disbanded. In part over a split between more assimilationist members focused on using respectability politics to gain entry into mainstream society, and members like the radical cross-dressing Hay, who wasn't looking for anyone's approval. In the 1970s, along with friends Mitch Walker, Don...
That's why my grandmother liked him, because I remember she told me he puts those beads on and tells everyone to fuck off. Yeah. Like,
His own drum.
He's not looking for anyone's approval. It's like, you should look for some people's approval.
Your doctors?
Or just as a motorist. you know what I mean?
Like, can I merge?
Feel free to have some people approve of you. Maybe not all. Hey, not anybody's.
He was also a founder of the Radical Fairies, a countercultural group expressly devoted to non-assimilationist queer self-expression. It was a response to what he perceived as a growing conformity amongst gay men. Gay culture was too often an impressive parody of straight culture, he said, defining homonormativity before its time. Hayes House in Los Angeles became known as Fairy Central. And served as a hub for the burgeoning fairy movement, which emphasized the formation of caring bonds and was influenced by Hayes' interest in paganism and Native American ritual and spirituality. The group still hosts communal gatherings in rural locales.
Yeah. So
I smell a live show.
Two things can be true at once. You can be down with a good cause and a douche who's sort of antisocial, is what he was.
He kind of slid down the slippery slope.
But. Oh, look, if he was alive today, he would be still going at it as hard as he ever was. All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Dawson.
Hayes' thinking went even further than a positive message of gay self-respect and love. He said that this group was, in fact, essential to human civilization and touted a special set of gay gifts to the world. Oh. In the words of his friend Mark Thompson, not that Mark Thompson.
Thank you.
He was the first to insist that we are a separate, distinct minority with certain traits and talents, mainly in the areas of teaching, healing, mediating opposites, and creating beauty. Later in life, Hay condemned the emphasis on consumerism he saw taking root in lifestyle publications and gay culture broadly. He ultimately settled with his partner, John Burnside, in San Francisco, where the two lived at the center of a robust, dynamic circle of loved ones, fellow fairies, and like-minded activists.
Let me chime in here. Being equal, whether you're gay or black or a woman or whatever it is, the plan is to get to buoyant and equal, and then you move on. When you start ascribing things that we're better at, we're proud, now you're going into a direction that you fought against when it was somebody of a different persuasion or a different ethnicity. Just stop at a certain point.
Do you think you're as good a florist as a random gay man?
A fairy?
No, but I know some black dudes who... Oh.
The Cove Avenue stairway in the Silver Lake neighborhood of Los Angeles is dedicated to Hay. A plaque beside the stairs reads, Harry Hay founded the Mattachine Society on this hillside in 1950.
Wow.
So nice.
Chris found a quote from my grandmother about the clubhouse where they met.
Yeah, I know.
Where's this from?
This is from the book.
Oh, okay.
I got the e-book.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Yeah, just they're talking about the perfect clubhouse for Harry sprang up across the street from the Hollywood Theater Guild when devotees of the new camera arts formed an organization called the Hollywood Film and Photo League.
This is her being interviewed?
No, this is some exposition first.
Oh, sorry.
So it's part left, part art, part commune. The League documented demonstrations and social unrest on film and had a counterpart in New York. So more than a dozen dancers, sculptors, and other artists were there, and they pulled their relief checks for rent and communal meals.
Like a kibbutz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
commune.
So, yeah. So, but whenever people got jobs, the house went untended. When they were out of work, it was clean, but they were hungry, so they got a nickname called the Filth and Famine League.
Great.
By the way, if you think any of this stuff is new, it is not new. This is 80 years old.
Yeah. DC property.
Among them were photographer Roger, dancer Bruce, a sound engineer Burton, and a vivacious young dancer named Helen Johnson.
Ooh! Oh,
vivacious.
Wow.
Yeah. She was very vivacious. The reason she loved dance, because the reason my mom got taken away from her by Child Protective. God, don't make me picture any of this.
The reason
Child Protective Services collected my mom is because she was rehearsing at the Hollywood Bowl. My mom, as an infant, was like left with a neighbor, but the neighbor called them.
Yeah,
called
that's
it
an
in.
Issue.
Yeah.
Huh.
Now, later, when I said to my grandmother all those years ago, I said, So you left mom with the neighbor to babysit, and then you went out to practice.
Okay.
And then the neighbor called Child Protective Services and had mom collected. And I said, why would a neighbor do that? I mean, how would that work?
Was this one time too many?
Or was this a baby in the basket on the front step situation?
What would motivate somebody to go, watch your daughter and then call Child Protective Services?
This doesn't check out.
And she said, and this is where I start stumbling onto sort of bullshit early. Like she said, because the neighbors, the woman in the house, I guess it was a couple, the neighbors, so the woman had the hots for my man.
Oh, Jolene.
And I said, yep. And she said, and we were moving out. And I said, but why would that work?
That's making it true, but that doesn't make sense.
What, there's no A to B in that. That's not an answer.
That was her answer.
That's not an answer.
It's nonsensical.
It sounds self-aggrandizing. It sounds like they tossed your mother at the door and walked away.
Here, watch this kid. I don't know how we get to whatever the truth is because that's her answer.
But that's a very common answer for a wide swath of people is the answer is always somebody was out to get me.
Yeah, jealous.
Yeah.
What I had. We have her.
Yeah. So, the Film and Photo League was not necessarily communist or, quote, temperamental, but plenty of such people were there. And Johnson described the anything goes ambience as such. Oh. Quote, in those days, in the circles in which I moved, gays and straights were not so separated. A lot of people at that place swung a bit both ways.
Oh. It was Something else you can picture.
It was taken for granted that communists were around. They were scattered in the Filth and Famine League like raisins in a cake.
I hate raisins in a cake. I know it's a metaphor, but... It just keeps getting worse.
There was a woman named Adele, whom we thought was a communist agent because she never mixed with anybody. B, an older lady who ran the place, was always looking to lay the younger men who were there.
Oh. I just threw up in my mouth.
There was a Hungarian who we found was stealing typewraters and reselling them.
Was his name Laszlo?
Could have been.
He also taught fencing to famous Hollywood people. Mm. I had a room over an old stable. Next to a guy who gathered rusty old files and tools and soaked them in a big vat of acid to clean them up for resale. He always shook them in the middle of the night. She's all over this book, though. Yeah, you're totally right.
So we know she was an exotic dancing bisexual with raisins in cake.
Oh, this is the worst idea ever. Why did you force me to do this, Chris?
Bad producing.
I never wanted to know any of this.
Well... I when I was searching for Helen Gorog, I was like, oh, she's not in this that much. But Helen Johnson is all over.
Oh, there we go.
So, yeah. And also someone named Lacey Gorog, who I found out is Laszlo. So he's called Lacey Gorog throughout the book.
Lacey?
L-A-C-I-E.
Well, that's how he would pronounce.
Oh, like
Lotsy is spelled Lacey.
That makes sense, yes. L-A-C-I-E.
Oh, so Lotsy's in this book.
Yeah, so someone named Lacey Gorog's all over, too. And I was like, oh, who is Lacey? Who is she? But it's a guy who's a screenwriter at Warner.
Everyone's assignment this weekend is to read this book.
Tell me he's not swinging, too.
I will not confirm nor deny any of this yet. I gotta look more through it, yeah.
Wow.
Lotsy, swinging. Yeah, Lotsy is Lacey, but
that makes sense.
Nobody would pronounce it that way. All right. Well, I need to take a shower.
Lava did that.
Well, that'll do it. That'll get him to take a shower.
There you go.
All right. Let me tell you about Keeps. For over 50 million men in the U.S. experiencing male pattern baldness, in most cases, hair loss can be prevented and treated. Keeps, a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consults and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months in discreet packaging, 24/7 care and support. Keeps has a network of expert medical advisors, prescribers, and specialists. Low cost, just about $10 per month. Treatment plans are typically half the cost of whatever you pay for at a pharmacy. And prevention is the key. So let's get going with Keeps. If it's thinning out, boys, treatment can take 4 to 6 months to see results. So act fast with Keeps, right, Dawson?
If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to KEEPS.com/Adam to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/Adam to get your first month free. KEEPS.com/Adam.
You know, we could probably do a Laszlo Gorog Rotten Tomatoes themed game.
God damn.
Because
what's taking us so long?
Yeah.
You know, those movies are so old and maybe some of them aren't rated, but I don't know. Like, is the mole people have a Rotten Tomatoes score?
It's kitschy enough.
Yeah.
Don't look it up.
I won't look it up. You can just tell us yes or no. Or does the Affairs of Susan have a Rotten Tomatoes score?
The Mole People does have a Rotten Tomatoes score, yes.
Okay. And look up the Affairs of Susan, and I'll try to think. I mean, we could IMDb him, find out what he wrote. God, he wasn't swinging. No. Well, he made goulash all day. He made goulash and he fixed the sprinklers.
He was doing cinema verite in Los Angeles called Lesbian Communists in Silver Lake. Yeah.
Mike Lazo?
Yes, he was. It was all real.
No.
I'm kidding. Sorry.
He was a guy who rode a three-wheel bicycle to Lucky Supermarket.
So a tricycle.
And made, chicken paprikash and goulash. And he just never stopped working on either the sprinklers or the filter in the miniature pond-sized pool they had in their backyard. That's who he was.
He got it all out of his system.
Not a swinger. No
what's
way.
What's more upsetting to you? To think about which one. I think probably grandma.
I knew grandma jumped the shark by the time, you know, on her 19th birthday. Mm. But Laszlo was, you know,
the old country guy.
Earth, yeah.
Yeah.
Affair of Susan does not have a Rotten Tomatoes score.
Well, this is a bizarre world because that movie was nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, shit.
In 1935, though. I mean,
Hard to collect reviews.
Was it 35?
Got to go back to the microfiche.
Jesus Christ.
I promise you it'll have an IMDb score of 7.3.
Let's, you can check her. Maybe.
Oh, excuse me. It's 45. Well, there's one at 35 and 45.
Nah, so. this would have been 45.
Okay, so let me check that one then. There's two affairs.
You want to play Grandma's No Charm, No Charisma clip just to give people a palate cleanser?
She had a lot of nice stuff to say about Harry Hay.
She loved Harry Hay.
She loved it.
She had it in her. It's not for you.
I never think of Adam as a star, and I think people do, but I don't think he has big charisma or charm, but he is intelligent. Maybe he gets some of that from me.
It's good.
I was funny because every time she goes, no charisma, no charm, and then he goes, but he is intelligent. I go, oh, okay, well, that's something. But
must be from me.
Yeah.
Got it from her. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. The genius who got her kid taken away and rotted at the VA her entire life.
Yeah.
We should all have that kind of intelligence. All right.
The Affairs of Susan, 1945, also no Rotten Tomatoes.
Whoa. Unbelievable. It gets nominated for original screenplay or adapted something. I mean, it was
probably
was
adapted
nominated.
If there's a previous.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with the real Rotten Tomatoes game right after this. You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Dawson names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do.
baby. All right, well, now that the heat wave is kind of over in Southern California, we've gotten back to slightly better temperatures. It's finally safe for us to use our appliances from 4 to 9. So we're going to turn up the heat once more and enjoy some movies that take place under the scorching rays of a desert sun. First up, when a hunter stumbles upon the aftermath of a drug deal gone wrong in the middle of the desert, he goes on, takes the money, and runs. The hunter becomes the hunted when both a sheriff and a merciless killer pick up his trail, starring Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem, and Tommy Lee Jones. From 2007, No Country for Old Men.
Do you have thoughts on this film?
I fucking love it.
Both of you love this, right?
I love this goddamn film. Yeah. I love it. And I'm proud to say this is one of Sonny's all-time favorites.
Nice.
I mean, it's just so goddamn good. Every character's great in it. It just keeps getting better. I mean,
definitely character-driven.
It's just so goddamn good, this film. It's a rare
movie that's character and plot-driven. This movie has a very strong plot and characters.
Yeah, just tons of stuff to love about this film. You know, this may be one of my favorite films of the last 15 or 20 years outside of Tarantino films.
Sure. Yeah.
It's great.
It's a masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece. Look.
It's Coen Brothers.
We're talking about, you know, a 93 to maybe a 92 to 97 range here. It's going to piss me off. Even if it's 96, it's still going to piss me off. Who are these critics that just went,
yeah.
By the way, all you have to do is get to a C+,
right?
To get the thumbs up.
Just above average.
And I hate critically. When critics are like, it wasn't for me. Okay, well, what about all the people that you're doing this for? Is it for them?
By the way, as a critic, you should not have a it wasn't for me gear.
Yeah. That's what I'm
your
saying.
Your job is evaluating films.
What about the rest of us?
Will people like this? Yeah. Is this for people?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You're the interpreter.
It literally means under 3 out of 5 stars. That's how you get to rotten, and there will be a percentage of that.
It's crazy.
All right. So everyone's going to be in a window here. But, you know, it had a lot of violence in it. Sometimes that'll knock you down a number. I will say 94.
When Adam Carolla says a number, you go with that number, 96.
93.
We have a 5-point deduction. Because No Country for Old Men is certified fresh at 93%.
Wow. Thank you, Adam Carolla. That was your bottom.
And the audience has it at 86. What were they looking forward to?
Years before Tom Cruise took on the franchise, we saw another incredibly fit actor traveling to the City of the Dead. This trim young man accidentally awakens an evil power, which had been kept under wraps in a desert, starring Rachel Weisz and a handsome heartthrob, Brendan Fraser. From 1999, The Mummy.
93.
Brendan Fraser's coming back.
Yeah.
This was one of those. Well, there's a great ride at Universal based on The Mummy.
This is the first Mummy?
I mean, of that era.
Mummy never, out of all the mythical villains, Mummy never really struck any fear into my heart.
Not super scary.
They weren't mobile at all. They were kind of frail balls. Looking.
Yeah, they're not really bloody. They're wrapped.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. So they didn't love it, but they kept going with the franchise, right?
It spawned many sequels. The Rock got kind of his cinematic break doing the Scorpion King.
Was the first one any good? Is this that?
Again, it's a ride at Universal.
All right.
Hold on.
We in?
Yes.
All right, I went 37.
Oh, boy, this is going to separate the men from the boys already. I think this is actually okay, like, for what it is. I went 71.
Whoa, 48.
The Mummy is fresh. Yeah. It's 61%.
Just fresh.
For what it is, big CGI nonsense, it's okay. It's
good. All right, people liked it.
A writer and his lawyer drive a convertible across the Mojave Desert.
Yeah.
With a suitcase full of drugs on their way to Sin City. Upon their arrival, they partake in the contents of said suitcase, resulting in a series of hedonistic actions and chaotic repercussions starring Johnny Depp and Benicio del Toro from 1998, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
This was big in our circle when it came out.
It was a very anticipated release.
Yeah.
It was obviously a cult book, you know,
yeah.
A cult movie.
One of the movies, this, Training Day, and Requiem for a Dream, where I really felt like I was going to throw up watching the movie. Watching
so,
people that high.
As I recall, it was much anticipated, but a letdown. Mm. But I don't know how big a letdown.
Well, in what way? I mean,
I have a vague memory of sort of people going, it's not as good as we'd hoped, or not as good as the book. I mean, if a book is beloved and iconic, then it's always going to be a little bit of a, we got to deduct a few points. But
it's also incredibly niche. You know what I mean? This does not reach a wide audience.
Well, and that's why I'm very confused, because for teenagers, this was the coolest thing we'd ever seen. So I don't know how people actually felt about it.
And then you have two great leads.
Oh, yeah. Benicio was relatively newish at this point.
Yeah.
And he put on a bunch of weight.
Was it?
That's a great. What year is this? Dawson? Year?
This
98?
Was 98.
When was
a few years out, 95.
Oh.
But he put on a ton of weight, a big guy. Has one of the best cameos of all time. Johnny Depp is as Hunter S. Thompson in a flashback to his more drug days in 10 years earlier. And he's talking to the audience in a voiceover where Johnny Depp's walking through the bathroom looking for drugs or the club, and he goes, "There I was." And he passes Hunter S. Thompson, and he goes, "Holy shit. There I am. Jesus Christ."
Very tongue-in-cheek.
It's great.
All right.
I don't know.
I didn't see. I saw bits and pieces of this movie. I was not really. No one said I had to see it, so I didn't. I didn't read the book, obviously, because I didn't read. So now, how low can we go? Is there punishment for not being as great as the book? But two great stars. I'm going to go just fresh at 61, like our last score.
That's exactly what I have, 61.
Oh, really?
The director is someone of note. I'm drawing a goddamn blank on who it is, but it's somewhat famous.
Well, I have to stick with my heart. I thought people thought this was the coolest thing ever, and critics love cool, so I said 78.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is rotten.
Shit.
49%.
Wow. Mm. But don't you think critics love this kind of shit? A drug-fueled romp about a writer?
It's uneven, you know what I mean?
Not when they're in love with the book.
Well, the audience thought it was fantastic at 89.
Yeah, that was you.
I guess.
After surviving boot camp and training as a sniper, a Marine is shipped out to the Arabian Peninsula as part of Operation Desert Shield in the Gulf War. He and his fellow soldiers try to retain their composure as they march through the Highway of Death, starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Sarsgaard. Yeah. And Jamie Foxx from 2005, Jarhead.
This is another movie that was, I guess, pretty stylized. I mean, we definitely saw this in like a group of teens.
It was intense.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. I don't think I saw it.
I never saw it. You'd like Jarhead.
Yeah.
I would?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm worried.
What happens to young soldiers when they're kind of stuck in that environment?
Yeah. So what do we do here?
This, I don't know.
I don't know.
For what it's worth, I enjoyed this
movie. Yeah, I did too, but that doesn't mean anything.
But it was probably, if it took a little anti-war, sort of anti-Marine.
Did it? It's hard to say.
Pro-Marine, actually.
Yeah.
No, it was pro-Marine.
It's not that clear.
But it also showed the hells of war. It's a complicated movie.
Yeah.
Terry Gilliam was the director you're thinking of from Monty Python.
I like to think. What year was this?
I have no clue.
2005. Okay.
Doesn't mean anything.
Although
this is around the heels of the second Iraq War. But still in it, you know, 2005.
All right.
I don't know what to say.
So I'm trying to figure out whether add points or deduct points based on the kind of politics of it, but it was pretty even-handed. It was just a war as hell.
War as hell, and it's I think it's based on the book by the Jarhead dude. So I think it's pretty faithful to the Marine experience, the sniper experience.
Okay. Don't know. Listening to Brian. Brian is, because he's going to do the thing where he goes, I said I liked it, but no one else did.
Yep.
With this 49.
I do that. Oh, we weren't that far off. We both got 61.
Yeah.
With the last movie. It was only 12 off.
Part of me wants this to go 61 again. I'm going 61.
I'm afraid this is a really good movie. I said 88. I wouldn't be surprised if it was higher.
75.
We have another 5-point deduction because Jarhead is fresh at 61.
Oh, wow.
I'm surprised.
Wow.
I just burst. Oh. I went full Kool-Aid on your asses.
You really did.
Wow.
That is shocking. Did anyone else see this? I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
A sentient tire rolls through the desert.
Who picked this?
Using the power of its mind
to
make small animals and human heads explode. Can the people come together to deflate this nightmare situation? From 2010, Rubber.
Remember this?
No.
Anderson talks about this a lot.
I
never saw this.
Careful where you tread!
Oh, my God. Ah, boy, this is tough.
This is awesome.
I have no idea because I've never heard of this movie. Funny, gory, and downright insane. So says whom?
Some reviewer.
Bloody disgusting.
Uh-huh.
Now, that is a horror website. You know what I mean? This is a genre picture.
Oh, it's a film by Quentin Dupieux.
That's right.
That's his nom de plume.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so.
That's awesome.
But this is the kind of thing critics could go nuts for.
Yeah.
Or could be shock.
Ironic.
Or could just be unwatchable. You've not seen it, Brian?
I haven't seen it.
I remember the joke around this movie.
Yeah, I don't. No one's ever told me I have to say. I've been burned by that logic before, but no one's ever been like, dude, you haven't seen Rubber?
Except Anderson?
Even he's never said it like that. He just kind of talks about it.
This movie just came out, and I've never heard of it. Did it get into theaters?
I can't tell you definitively. This is an odd choice for this game.
Okay. I may have a small... Is this our last one?
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Might be clinging to a small lead, but I just have... These are the kind of movies that critics could like just because they're that quirky, or it could just be pure, unadulterated junk down into the teens. I have no idea. I'm going 40%.
I threw Hail Mary at 80%.
Wow.
I don't know anything about this.
I'm sticking with 48.
Rubber is fresh.
Yes.
At 68%.
Wow.
That may have helped me a little.
Brian, Brian,
did you say 80 or 88?
I said 88 was the last one. 80 was this one.
Okay, thanks.
It's funny. My impulse was just to go 50% because...
Who knows?
Who the hell knows? Yeah. But it seems so schlocky.
Needed those 12 points.
Wow.
It's a close game.
Yeah, I have no
Gina
clue.
Grad. Uh-huh. Congratulations. Thank you. Made the podium again. That is a streak you're on with 71.
Fresh.
Bald Brian.
Don't do this to me.
Oh, boy. Coming in with a score of 64.
Okay.
Which puts you in at least second place, possibly first, leaving us Adam Carolla, who had the 5-point deduction and got back in the game. Just really played like a champion today. But unfortunately, your score... of Brian got 64.
Don't do this.
Adam got 60 for the win.
Come on.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I knew it.
Wow.
Tried to make up some points in the last one.
Not that it would have made a difference. I feel like my -5 wasn't calculated into that, but I still lost.
Even if it
That's
was.
Fine. Yeah. Okay.
So what was it? The critics were 68. What were the people on Rubber?
46. Rubber.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. So I had three. So the critics just kind of liked
They like
how
the
bizarre.
Audacity of
yeah.
it
right.
and the nonsense.
All right. Bill O'Reilly is going to join us in a couple of few. I have...
terrible game.
Bill O'Reilly's going to... One of the guys going to talk about is John Lennon. There's a... John Lennon's name came up in a very recent White House presser, so it reminded me of Bill and the book, and we have the... So what happened was is Biden made a gaffe. I hope you're all sitting down.
Oh, but it was tough.
Next time he'll learn is when he doesn't.
He mentioned someone who passed away.
But didn't know that.
Well, I have a theory, and then it got exacerbated by the press secretary sort of, look, either side, whatever your politics are, look, once in a while, there's a lot of names. Joe Biden has to, no one could ever possibly know all the names and all the heads of everything and the mayor of every city and whatever. Just every once in a while,
people mess up.
He had a brain fart.
Didn't Trump ask if Frederick Douglass was present in the boardroom?
Yeah, at one point. Just say the fucking guy, you know, when have you not misspoken or whatever? But she went into a circle the wagons thing, and then it gets absurd. And then what people do is they push back, not against the brain fart, because it could go away where the guy misspoke. What do you want him to do? He speaks all day. He misspoke. But instead, she gave a cockamamie answer, and then the press corps started pushing back against her answer, not against him, which now you've exacerbated the problem. It's basically like you get into more trouble for lying to the FBI than you do for what they wanted you to talk about. That's how they get you. End up getting yourself into more trouble. But it is funny. Remember that clip of Jerry Lewis like doing that interview toward the end? And, you know, the guy's like,
his house.
What do you think of Dean Martin? I don't know.
Yeah.
When are you going to perform, maybe? Yeah. You know, Mark Carrico says he shows that to clients who are going to be deposed,
so good.
Which makes me laugh, but it's true. It's like, that's how you get deposed. You don't talk. It's yes, no, and I can't remember. That's how you get deposed. You do not start running your lip.
I can't recall is the biggest fucking cop-out loophole of all these, you know, congressional hearings and all that shit.
Yeah, so, but I have a theory about why he went to looking for her in the room.
Okay.
And we'll play the clip.
And I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this.
All right. My theory.
She was killed in a car accident.
Right, but her last name is Walorski, and he didn't want to stumble over the name because he gets skewed for stumbling over names. So he goes, Braun and Booker, that's
easy,
straightforward, and he goes, and Jackie, and he's seeing this weird Polish last name, and he goes, where are you, Jackie? Like, that was him not wanting to deal with the name. But then where John Lennon comes in, you watch it again, you'll see him kind of go, I'm not sure about this last name, so I'll just play it to the crowd.
I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
All right, anyway.
It was just really unfortunate that it happened to be her.
Yeah. Brain fart, fine, made a mistake. Turn the page. But then during the presser with Karine Jean-Pierre, she just circled the wagon. And so she gave a ridiculous answer, which you can watch. And then someone brought up John Lennon, which I thought was funny.
What happened in the hunger event today? The president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. He seemed to indicate she might be in the room. What happened?
So the president was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event on food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president. He looks forward to discussing her remarkable legacy of public service with them when he sees her family this coming Friday.
He said, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind.
I think that's a perfectly reasonable secretary, you know, like a cover-up answer. Like, yeah, you sidestep. You know, she's on everybody's mind. She did such great work, and we can't wait to honor her at the end of the week.
Yeah, but then he was looking for her in the room. But, sorry, do you have the John Lennon?
I'm not saying it's a good answer. I'm saying it's a good answer for her. That's her job.
I know, but she inspired many more questions, which was...
Well, she didn't answer it.
Wasn't even top of mind. Yeah. He was calling her out in the room. Thought she was in the room. Sorry, did you find that, Chris?
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Right, where he was calling out, again, congressional leaders, a bipartisan leadership that we have seen on this particular issue. And again, he's going to see her family in just 2 days. And she was on top of mind. I mean, that is not an unusual scenario there.
Karine, I have John Lennon top of mind just about every day, but I'm not looking around for him anywhere.
When you sign a bill for John Lennon, right, Lennon has president, then we can have this conversation. Okay, go ahead.
She got pissed off there. And by the way, that was the before that she was asked again, what are you talking about top of mind? That's right. I think about John Lennon every day, but I'm not looking around for him.
They kept circling back, like, oh, we just want to circle back to that top of mind thing again.
That's good.
Could have gone away.
Makes me want to watch West Wing.
Could have gone away. We just said, look, he's 79-year-old dude. He had a brain fart. What do you want? You try speaking for a living all day. We'll film it and see how many fucking brain farts you have. I mean, she's a human being. What are you going to do?
That would have been a clap back.
That was funny. All right. So then John Lennon we're going to talk about in a second. Muhammad Ali, Elvis Presley, what killed them in the Killing the Legends, the Killing series, which Bill O'Reilly, lest you think he just puts his name on these things. Right. He becomes experts in these subjects, as we've found out in the past when we've interviewed him. Let me hit Geico first. You own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and you work hard. That's where Geico comes in. You want to bundle those policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and how easy it is to save when you get your bundle going at Geico. All right, we'll talk to Bill O'Reilly right after this.
All this month, celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month with Pluto TV. Watch movies with the biggest stars like Eugenio Derbez in No Eres Tú, Soy Yo, and Luis Gerardo Méndez in Camino a Marte. Plus, Pluto TV has thousands more movies and TV shows and over 45 channels in Spanish, all for free. So download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming today. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.